Okay. I'm reading Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 13. This is New King James Version. Ecclesiastes 1, 13. And I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to sons of man, by which they may be exercised. Now, different Bibles translate it differently, but this word burdensome task, burdensome, actually in Hebrew means evil. And Solomon makes quite a strong statement, but people translate it slightly differently, because in the context of the whole book, so really it means futile and pointless and senseless. That's what it means. There is a phrase that runs through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I would like us to reflect on it today. And the phrase that he uses is, "We don't know," or "You don't know." You don't know. The first thing Solomon says, "We don't know," is how our children will turn out. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, 18 and 19, it says, "Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he'll be wise or a fool. Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity." So you never know how the children will turn out. That's what he said. And just doesn't know what's going to happen. Everything he's invested into his life, in this life, and you don't know what's going to happen. The second thing Solomon says we do not know is chapter 3, verse 11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." And I assume you have heard the word Eureka.
Yes.
Eureka?
Yes.
You find something, and discover something. So in the Greek translation of the book, this is the word that's used. Eureka. Find out. You know, really like properly find out something, discover something. And I have discovered it, I have found out. It says no one can find out the work of God that he does from beginning to the end. The third thing Solomon says we cannot know is really what happens to our spirit when we die. This is what he says. Chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. "I say in my heart, concerning the condition of the sons of man, God tests them, that they may see that they themselves are like animals. For what happens to the sons of man also happens to animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over animals, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and all return to dust. Who knows the spirit of the sons of man, which goes upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth?" And NAS translates it really same as the Serbian Bible that I read, so really it does seem to make sense, make it clear. It says, Ecclesiastes 3:21, "Who knows that the breath of man ascends upwards and the breath of the beast goes downwards?" He says, no, we don't know. Don't know what happens when you die. But he makes it very clear. when you read a couple of verses, this passage, he makes it very clear, we are no different from the animals. So the last statement he makes must just be saying the same thing. We don't know. We are no different to them. Then verse 22, chapter 3. So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? Once we are gone, we have no idea what's happening. What's happening in this life? We can't see what happens after us. Solomon leaves this matter for the final judgment. At the end of the book, he says only then God will bring everything into judgment. But we do not know anything until that final judgment comes. The next thing we do not know is Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely, God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. Here again we find that same word, eureka. You cannot say, I have discovered it, I know it. We do not know what comes next. We cannot discover it and say, eureka, I know the future, I know exactly what will happen tomorrow. We struggle here to know what the weather will be like tomorrow. Never mind the more complex things of life than wind and rain. The next thing Solomon says is in the same chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? Who can find out? Again, the word eureka used here. Solomon says, I will be wise, but the wisdom I was seeking remained far from me. It is too far and too deep for anyone to claim to have discovered it. We cannot know wisdom. In his search, in seeking wisdom, Solomon realized that it cannot be discovered. The wiser you get, the more you see yourself removing further and further away from what you're seeking. And just to illustrate, one famous physicist said in 1920s that physics will be finished in 5 years. In other words, said we will discover all the subatomic particles, we'll completely understand the nature of the universe and the nature of reality in 5 years, which was to be about 1930. And as far as the equipment and technology went, in those days, it looked like we knew 95% of physics. But almost 100 years later now, the tables have turned. Now with all the extra knowledge, all the extra equipment that we have, we realize that the physical matter we can actually know and study is only makes up only 4% of the universe. And the rest of it, 96% of everything that exists, we cannot know it, so we call it dark matter and dark energy. So the tables have turned from knowing 95% 100 years ago, now we don't know 96%. But our knowledge has increased, and we think we know more, but the point is the more we know, the less we know. So the more you seek knowledge and wisdom, the further and deeper it escapes from you and hides from you. This is what Solomon says, this was his experience. The next thing Solomon highlights is verse 6, that's the same chapter. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment. Though the misery of man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? Chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. For he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him what or when it will occur? And sometimes, especially when you go for job interviews, people come to you with this, let's call it an American question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? Where do you see yourself
5 years from now?
An idea?
Good job.
Five years, oh very good. I think you're looking back in retrospect. 5 years is a long, long, long time. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. And besides, where do you get this idea of five? Why five? You know, why not seven or three? Where do you get that from? No idea. Solomon continues with the same sentiment in the next chapter, chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. This is a quite significant statement. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to the man of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Mm-hmm. This is a big word, chance here. And I read recently some books on highly esteemed theologians, they just can't digest this word chance. And they try to prove that everything's been predetermined by God, and because they believe that and predestined it. It doesn't mean chance. Well, that's exactly what he means. The time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Suddenly. Can I really say, you know, I will not get sick or ill in the next 5 years, or there'll be no disaster or death in my family in the next 5 years? Wouldn't that be a bit presumptuous? Solomon says we do not know our time because things happen suddenly by chance. You can't plan them, prepare for that. They fall upon us as a surprise, like fish caught in a cruel net, like bird caught in a snare. So are we snared in an evil time when it suddenly comes upon us? Obviously, if you're building a bridge that is 100 miles long, like one of these bridges in China, you do have to plan ahead. Obviously, otherwise you'll never accomplish that years ahead. But as for you and me as individuals, as people, we cannot plan what will happen to us. We just don't know. We don't know. And a lot of you will know from experience, no matter how hard something you plan, and you push, and work, if some doors are closed, you can push as hard as you like. Door just remains closed. And you keep pushing. Then suddenly a different door opens and you find yourself walking through it. I don't know, is that only my experience or this rings a bell when you think about your life's experiences? In the same chapter, Solomon says, again reflecting upon the final events of life, chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. For the living know that they will die. Now this one thing we know, he says. The only thing we know is that we will die. But the dead know nothing. And again, when you read about this, reading recently some really, you know, top people writing books, they completely skip over this. They don't, because they don't believe it. So they don't comment on it. in the commentary that comments on every single word and dot and comma. They just skip over it. The dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have not perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. And he makes it plain, very, very plain, towards the end of the book. Only once God brings every act into the judgment, he's talking about the final judgment, only then we will know. Then if you go back just a few verses, we come to our first reading I read today, Ecclesiastes 8:17. Then I saw all the work of God that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. This is his verdict. We do not know, and we cannot know. And even if a wise person, you know, the top people, you know, the top people say, I know, they don't know. If they're really clever, they know that they don't know. And really clever people do admit that, and they do say that. But they don't put these people on BBC, they put other people on, don't they? Yes. Talk about it some other time, but I found the more I go through the book of Ecclesiastes that a lot of things from that book Jesus uses in his own teachings. A lot. You can see it more and more clearly. But just to mention a few things. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Solomon says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven, and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Does this remind you of anything Jesus spoke about? Perhaps from his parables?
Are you reading from chapter 11?
11:1.
Yeah, because my interpretation says something different. You see, cast your
bread. Very different. You need to buy yourself a proper Bible.
Give gems and focus, we'll bring it out to you later.
Shall I read it out?
Sorry. Give generously, for your gifts will be returned to you later.
11:1, is it? Okay, all right. Now, maybe just a footnote. What the Bibles use are really paraphrased, they're not translations, but it's fine.
Yes.
But this is what it says. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. And in verse 2, give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Mm-hmm. This is really the basis for the parable of the shrewd manager. You can read about it in Luke 15, and he just gives out, just before he finds out he loses his job. And then he's commended for being a wise person, actually, for doing that by the master. And it's the same principle. Solomon says, we do not know what evil will come on earth, so cast your bread upon the waters, it will flow back to you after many days. The shrewd manager cast his bread upon the waters and came back to him. It was a wise thing to do. Well, what happens in this world, in order to prepare for an evil day, when we had that lorry driver strike years ago, you go to the supermarket, all the bread and water is just gone to the shelves. That's how you prepare here for an evil day. Stock up and pile up and you'll be safe. But Solomon and Jesus teaches completely the opposite. That's not how you prepare for the evil day. You don't stock up. You actually give stuff away. That's how you prepare for the evil day. Give away what you have. Give freely your help. Kind words. Any good thing you may have in your possession. Help those who are in trouble, and someone will help you when you're in trouble. And to conclude, with the next few verses in Ecclesiastes 11, this is the basis for another one of Jesus' well-known teachings. 11, verses 5 and 6, chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. As and you probably, as you read it now, you figure out what it is. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Solomon speaks here about how we do not know the way of the wind, or the spirit. In Hebrew, that's the same word. And he also says, you do not know how the child in the womb, the bird, the whole thing, you don't understand that, how that works. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you know, when he told him you must be born again, he told him the same thing, you don't know the way of the wind, and you must be born again. He's actually saying what Solomon is saying, the idea of the wind and pregnancy and birth. So that's one direct reference to what Jesus is using from by Solomon, his own teachings. There are many, many other things there. The wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? You know, you're one of the top people, yeah? One of the top people in Israel. Have you not read Solomon? This is what you should know. These things, he, you know, is the wisest one of them all. He says these things, you know, what I'm saying. In conclusion, Solomon tells us, as you do not know the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. We cannot know it. We cannot control it. We cannot grasp it. We cannot discover it. Says, we do not know, because this is the work of God.